Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. First, let me say thank you very much for being a listener of the show. We've got a tremendous audience for this little podcast that I started up about a year ago. We've almost reached our 200th episode. And when we get to the 200th episode, I'm probably going to do a little vanity project. And we're just going to talk about the show and TLR. Let me first just tell you that the show is doing fantastic. We've got a tremendous size audience. And the Libertarian Republic, ever since we had our new theme, the new layout come in the beginning of February, we've been doing fantastic in terms of traffic and in listeners. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of that. I'm glad you're enjoying the new website. So if you enjoy the show today and you want to help us out, do us a favor. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com. You can subscribe to us. There's a button there under the podcast. You can click to subscribe on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple product, you can also find us on Stitcher. Go to stitcher.com and download the Freedom Report app on your Android device. You can get the show. Do us a favor. If you really like us, go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 5-star review, that helps me spread this podcast even further. And you can also write a little written review there on iTunes. That really helps. We're becoming one of the most popular shows, libertarian podcasts out there. So thank you very much for making that happen. Today's show, we're going to be talking about something that's sure to offend everyone, because you know Leif Beaverson's kind of making some people angry. They call me a troll, but you know what? A troll is really not what I am, because a troll is someone who just tries to get a rise out of people without trying to offer anything substantive. We're not trying to teach a lesson there, you know what I mean? A troll is someone who doesn't offer anything of value. And that's not me. I offer something of value. I'm trying to teach people, you know, important economic lessons, you know, libertarian lessons in a way that's amusing or funny. Maybe I make people a little bit angry sometimes, but I provoke to inspire. And I do this, I troll because I care. You know, I'm doing this because I think that these are important topics and issues, and I bring them up not lightly. You know, I'm not just a shock jock. You know, compare me to Rush Limbaugh, or compare me to you know, people who are just trying to entertain and in the political space, perhaps, or just trying to get the ratings and stuff. And obviously, I want the ratings, but we're talking about substantive issues today. And I'm going to troll a little bit. I'm going to talk about women. Oh my God. Please, won't somebody think of the women? We're going to talk about this from a topic, from an angle of economic freedom, because I think that there is this big fallacy out there, and we all know this. If you're a libertarian, you're a hardcore libertarian, you're a true believer listening to this show, you already know that what I'm going to talk about is a myth. And we're going to discuss this, and it's going to make some liberals angry, so maybe this wouldn't be great to share with your little friends to convince them, but I'll point you in the direction of some resources that maybe you can share with your liberal friends, and they will be like, oh, okay, I'll listen to him, because he's a black man. She's a woman, so we'll listen to God. I'm a white liberal male, so obviously I'm a shitlord, and, you know, I need to check my privilege. You know, I shouldn't have opinions about things like, economic facts, which we're going to discuss today, because we're going to talk about the gender wage gap myth, the disparity of pay. And this is a big issue, because, you know, even the president of the United States talks about this, where women are paid less than men for the same jobs. So, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because last night at the Oscars, women were brought up, and we're going to talk about Patricia Arquette and Upworthy, the liberal, stupid viral website for idiotic, economically illiterate liberals, posted the meme of Patricia Arquette, who bravely, in the middle of her speech, stood up for women, because nobody stands up for women. No, nobody ever stands up for women. The oppressed women of the first world, the most privileged class of people ever. All the awards for Patricia Arquette, says Upworthy. Here's her quote. She interrupted her own acceptance speech to get this important message out to the world. To every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everyone else's civil rights. It is our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women in the United States of America, said Patricia Arquette. And I said, it's okay to be an idiot in public, as long as for the women and the children. And I say this because, obviously, she's an idiot. I mean, you really shouldn't get your opinions from actors, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. Yes, I have a background as an actor, but to be fair, I have spent the last, half a decade and more, going to school for going to economics classes and studying and you know, changing my views on things. I tend to be socially liberal, economically conservative, which makes me libertarian. But Patricia Arquette is obviously an idiot liberal. And when I say liberal, I know that's going to tee off some of my libertarian friends, because they know they're not really liberals. They're social democrats. Yes, okay. So when I say liberal, I'm speaking to the masses, right? When I say social democrat, I'm speaking to my libertarian hardcores. So please forgive my terminology there. But why is Patricia Arquette an idiot? Well, lots of reasons. But mostly because, you know, the wage disparity, quote unquote, really isn't a disparity when you compare people side by side for the same categories. Now, what I mean when I say that is that, yes, women make less than men, but they don't do it because of discrimination, or at least it's not because of discrimination from anyone else. They're doing it because they're discriminating against themselves, meaning the choices that women are making are leading them to make less money than men overall. What do I say? What do I mean when I say that? What I mean is that if women wanted to reduce the wage disparity, it would be actually fairly simple. And it's something that women could take control of very easily. You just have to work more hours, and you'd have to have fewer kids. You get that? Let that sink in for a moment. If women want to make as much as men make, women will have to work more hours and have fewer kids. So that's two parts. What I mean is that you'll have to work longer, ladies. You'll have to stay at the job longer. You'll have to stay at the job more years. And you'll have to have fewer kids or no kids. And what that means is that women make choices, okay? Women make choices. They choose to have children. They choose not to stay at the job as long. Now, I'm not going to make jokes about, you know, the fact that women, you know, are coming back late from spin classes, you know, that they go to on their lunch breaks, which I did see a lot happen when I've worked at major institutions. You know, women coming in late, women not staying as late as the men that were there. I'm not going to start talking about that because I know that's just going to piss you off, and that's anecdotal evidence. What I want to talk about here is the real data, and the real data that I get from the Foundation for Economic Education asks, you know, is the job market sexist? This is from December 2nd of 2014, and it was written by Corey Iacono, who sends this in to me. Corey, thank you very much. You're a fantastic guy, and you've written a great article here. I'll link to this in the podcast story. Is it an embarrassment that women are paid so much less than men? That's what the president says over and over. Today, the average full-time working woman earns just 77 cents for every dollar a man earns, President Obama reported in his speech back in April. In 2014, that's an embarrassment. It is wrong. But what's wrong is the claim itself, says Corey Iacono, or at least what Obama and his fellow Democrats regularly imply that the numbers mean. What we are supposed to be embarrassed about is the way the market discriminates against half of the population. Isn't it unfair that women make so much less than men do and for the same work? Behind the differences in pay are a number of straightforward reasons that we should understand before attributing the problem to sexist employers. While the 77-cent figure is technically true, the statistic does not account for occupations held, hours worked, length of tenure, or marital status, which are all factors that influence the wage an individual earns. Indeed, given the difference in the occupational choices of men and women, there is good reason to expect men to earn more on average, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Men are more likely to be lawyers, doctors, and business executives, while women are more likely to be teachers, nurses, and office clerks. This gender occupational segregation might be a primary factor behind the gender wage gap. Now, this is the Federal Reserve Bank saying this. Other choices also affect the numbers. Remember, to his word here, choice here, is choices affect the numbers. Indeed, writes Glenn Kessler in the Fact Checker blog for the Washington Post, data from the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics show women who do not get married have virtually no wage gap. They earn 96 cents for every dollar a man makes. Using data from a sample size of over 74,000 men and 72,000 women in dozens of industries and nearly 2 dozen occupations, and after accounting for many of the wage determinants, a study by the CONSAD Research Corporation found that the gender wage gap narrowed to 5 to 7%. However, even this remaining wage gap is not in itself evidence of systematic discrimination. So let me decode Corey's very, very big worded point here. So even what the research corporation found after studying a ton of men and women, this isn't some tiny little, you know, study like liberals do where they go and they ask 140 college kids a question and then derive a study from it. No, we're talking about a large sample size of men and women from many different industries, and there's a gender wage gap that's narrowed to about 5 to 7%. So what Corey is saying here, what he's reporting, is that even though there's a tiny little wage gap right there, it's actually, that's not evidence of discrimination. Because that's the thing, the problem with liberals is that they are social Democrats, my friends. The problem with these people and feminists is that they look at that and they automatically assume, well, it must be sexism. But here's my point. Here's my question. You know, let me ask you this. I posted this on my Facebook page last night. It's got 88 shares. Damn. If Patricia Arquette were right, right? Let's say that you could pay women less than hour, right? Let's say that you could discriminate. How come employers don't hire women by default to save money? And how come the president pays his female staff at a lower rate than men? Because he does, even though there's no economic incentive for doing so. So I'm making two different points here. The first one is, if you could pay women less than an hour, right? If I'm an employer and I knew that I could pay women less than an hour, wouldn't I hire more women? Wouldn't more women be getting jobs because you knew you could pay them less than an hour, right? Because, of course, social Democrats are going to say, greedy capitalists, they're so greedy. Well, if capitalists were so greedy, why aren't they hiring more women? Because they could save more money. Well, they're sexist. So wait a minute. Are you telling me that capitalists are more sexist than they are greedy? In other words, what I'm saying is that we're always, I mean, no matter what, there's evil motives, right? Evil capitalist white male employers, you know, giving those people jobs. We're more sexist than we are greedy, meaning that we want to pay more for men than we do for women. So our sexism outweighs our greed. Sorry. I would love to be surrounded by female employees and hire only female employees and pay them less. Okay? If I could. But I can't. And then the joke on this too is, of course, is that the reality is that, you know, if men are making more than women in the workplace, and that would mean that there would be sexism, because it would mean that men are worth paying more to do the same job. Meaning that men work harder and deserve a higher amount of pay. Do you get what I'm saying here? If the capitalist wants to make money and needs to hire an employee, he would prefer to hire the one that he could pay to do the same job for a lower rate, right? But if the reality is that men are getting paid higher wages to do the same job, then that means that we are sexist because we think that men are going to actually do the job. But of course, that isn't the case. That isn't the case. You know, like, you know, there's facts, and then there's hate. There's hate speech, and there's hate facts. You know, like Gavin McInnes always says this. He's one of my favorite. He's a conservative, former Vice magazine founder guy. You know, the facts are the facts, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. You don't have to like it. That's just what it is. Let me continue here. My second point was President Obama. Did you know that President Obama actually pays his female staff less than his male staff? Now, here's the thing. He's not a capitalist, right? He gets guaranteed money to pay his staff. He could pay everyone the same equally if he wanted to. But the president doesn't. Why? He doesn't have to save money. There's no incentive for him to have to save money. He's not trying to keep the White House afloat. You know, they're going to get money no matter what. So that's the funny thing, because in the free market, the capitalist wants to save money, but the president doesn't have the same incentive. So what the hell is his excuse for paying his women less money? Look it up. Look it up. It's true. No. I think that this is a good example of why Democrats, feminists, they just don't understand economics. So let me continue on here. So we were talking about the wage gap and how, you know, when we account for, know, all these different determinants, you know, occupations, what women choose, blah, blah, blah. The wage gap narrows to 5 to 7%. Now, listen to this. The authors only examined wages, right, when they were doing this study, this large study, and they only examined wages and not overall worker compensation, right? So they're just looking at wages. But a wage isn't necessarily the entire economic picture, right? Because you can get benefits at work sometimes. So if you look at a combination of wages and benefits, listen to this, they make an important note in this. Research indicates that women may value non-wage benefits more than men do, and as a result prefer to take a greater portion of their compensation in the form of health insurance and other fringe benefits. So women might choose jobs where they get more security in the form of like health insurance and things like that. What? Are you telling me women like security? What? Are you trying to say that women choose to be secure? Hell, I how could that be? I've never met a woman who wanted security. Well, I troll you, ladies. In other words, there is evidence that women prefer benefits to cash, which the gender wage gap completely ignores. Of course, because the guy's gonna buy your drinks anyway. What do you need cash for? You just need the health insurance to pay for your liver failure from all the free drinks you're getting at the bar. Oh! Sorry, ladies. I'm just kidding. I'm just trolling. I'm not bitter. Come on. I know that's what you're thinking. Get off it. I'm happy. In other words, there is evidence women prefer benefits to cash. The authors also state that they did not account for work experience or job tenure, and that these factors likely explain the remainder of the gap. This study leads to the unambiguous conclusion that the differences in the compensation of men and women are the result of a multitude of factors, and that the raw wage gap should not be used as the basis to justify corrective action. Indeed, there may be nothing to correct. The differences in raw wages may be almost entirely the result of the individual choices being made by both male and female workers. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, I will link to this story in the piece. So if you're listening to this show from somewhere else, maybe on Liberty Viral or listening to the podcast in your car or what have you, go to the Libertarian Republic, look up this story. I will link to this in the article. Proponents of the belief that a wage gap does exist often counter this research with other studies that insist that a large wage gap does exist, even after accounting for other explanatory variables. However, none of these studies has been as comprehensive as the CONSAD study, and importantly, almost all of them fail to examine non-wage earnings, like employer-provided health insurance. In fact, the Federal Reserve of St. Louis has noted, some researchers believe it's not enough to compare wages of similar men and women. They argue that total compensation, wages with benefits, must be compared. Really? Like, come on. What do you mean they must be compared? Like, how stupid do you have to be to not compare non-wage earnings? And I mean, what if you get incredible bonuses at your job? You know, what if you get, you know, premier Cadillac health insurance? Come on. Those are like paychecks, you know. Women of childbearing age may prefer jobs with a lower wage, but with employer-paid parental leave, sick leave, and childcare to jobs with a higher wage, but without such benefits. Economists Eric Solberg and Teresa Laughlin applied an index of total compensation, which accounts for both wages and benefits, to analyze how these benefits would affect the gender gap. They found a gender gap in wages of approximately 13%, but when they considered total compensation, the gender gap dropped to 3.6%. According to the study cited by the Fed economists, any measure of earnings that excludes fringe benefits may produce misleading results as to the existence, magnitude, consequence, and source of market discrimination. Corey has just done a wonderful job here on this piece. Good job, Corey. Now, this continues on. Let me finish this and then we'll discuss. Beyond the above considerations, there is a reason to doubt that the remainder of the wage gap, remember that 3.6%, is due to discrimination. According to a recent study published in the American Economic Review by Harvard economist Claudia Golden, the gender wage gap exists because of the differences in the particular hours women and men chose to work, according to Golden. The gap exists because of work in many occupations are worth more when given at a particular moment and when the hours are more continuous. That is, in many occupations, earnings have a non-linear relationship with respect to hours. A flexible schedule often comes at a high price, particularly in the corporate, financial, and legal worlds, right? So the gender gap in pay would be considerably reduced and might even vanished if firms did not have an incentive to disproportionately reward individuals who worked long hours and who worked particular hours. So what are they saying here? What Claudia Golden is finding is that women tend to prefer a flexible schedule, and there's a cost to that in the corporate, financial, and legal worlds, right? So in a legal world, you know, you're going to spend time for doing hours and hours and hours of continuous work without breaks. And perhaps what is happening is that women are choosing to have more flexible jobs where they don't have to work those kinds of long hour to hour jobs. And Corey finishes his wonderful piece by saying, while discrimination against women or men may exist in particular circumstances, the bad news for advocates of greater government intervention in the workplace is that there doesn't appear to be any solid evidence of a meaningfully large gender pay gap. Indeed, what's left of the gender wage gap that isn't explained by common wage determinants is likely a result of factors that simply haven't been accounted for. The good news for the interventionists is that few will look too deeply into what is behind the numbers, meaning that the big government people are going to get away with all this BS because nobody's going to check their stats. Nor will they question the government's role in engineering a rigid equality to replace the market's flexible response to diverse individual preferences in balancing work and home life. Bravo, Corey. Bravo. Corey is a student at the University of Rhode Island, and he's majoring in pharmaceutical science and minoring in economics. Well done, Corey. Very brilliant piece. A lot of big words there, perhaps, and hopefully I was able to sort of break this down. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, what are we to conclude from this? Let's just review that women are making choices about what kind of careers they want. They want more flexible careers. And two, that when we're looking at things like wage gaps, we're not accounting for things. They're looking simply at wages, right? But you're not accounting for things like non-wage benefits. You're not accounting for things like health insurance. Also, you're not looking at women's choices in whether or not they want to have a child, for example. So if they want more flexible work hours so that they can have children, which is perfectly fine, but you have to understand that that's a choice. And as an employer, for example, if you want to, decide who to hire, right, perhaps you might discriminate because you might, someone may say, oh, well, I'm going to have a child. Well, should you be forced to, you know, hire someone that you know is going to be out of the workforce? If you have to have, if you're a lawyer, run a law firm, you need someone to work continuous hours. You need someone who has less flexibility. And that becomes an issue of personal choice. And both women and employers need to have the freedom to make these choices. And don't just take my word for it. You know, take a look at the studies. And, I link to a brilliant piece from Thomas Sowell, where he is discussing the wage gap, economic myths. And I want you guys to do the research on this because I've certainly done my research on it, and I think that it's important for you guys to do your own research. If just don't even look at my research necessarily, you need to go and do your own. So, what my point is that I think that the wage disparity is just really, it's a dog whistle, for the economically illiterate. You know, they think that women are just automatically being discriminated against. You know, if women want to make more money, they can. So you've got to work longer hours and, you just don't have kids. Right? Is that offensive? I'm sorry, but that's just true. You know, I can't have kids. That's just what it is. You know, I understand the urge for equality, right? But biology doesn't let us be equal. Biology won't let us be equal. You know, I'm never going to be able to have kids. I mean, unless they have some sort of scientific breakthrough. In which case, maybe we will all be equal in that sense. But won't we lose some of the beauty of our diversity? Isn't there something to be cherished in the difference between men and women? You know, I went out on a date last night, and I paid for dinner. I took her out. First of all, because I invited her, And how about, how nice would that be for me to be just from the psychological perspective, hey, come on out and let me, and you pay for yourself. also because I think it sends a signal, it sends a signal that I have the means to provide and that I would be a suitable mate. I think women appreciate that. You know? I mean, I've never been on a date and I had a woman and expected that the woman was going to pay for me. Wouldn't I love that? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I guess it would be nice. You know, I wonder what that would be like. I never experienced that, though. Never had a woman offer to pay for both of us. I've had a woman offer to split, and I don't think I've ever taken her up on that. I might have, if it was a bad date. Maybe I did, if she was annoying. Or maybe I was just so willing to get out of there that I just paid and ran. Ladies, you have to understand that when it comes to things like the gender wage gap and things like that, it's not so much an issue of the culture as it is with the women, the culture of choices. And maybe this was less vitriolic than you thought it was going to be. You know, maybe I shouldn't go into. I had planned on going into like long, like crazy rants and, you know, poking fun at the psychofeminists, but maybe I should just leave it at that. What do you say? Should I just not troll here for the next 20 minutes? You know, no more Leaf Beavers and trolling. Should I not be sitting here making fun of the feminists for being kind of stupid when it comes to economics? Maybe I'll just leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. I really appreciate you being a loyal listener to the show. You can help me by subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you really want to do us a big favor, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Write out a positive review, what you think of the show. 5 stars, positive review written down, helps us spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. Don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty. Said it twice. TheLibertarianRepublic.com.